You're listening to Grumpire with your hosts, LB and Andrew.
Hey, LB.
Hey, Andrew. So this is episode 3.
Yes, of Grumpire the podcast, or just Grumpire. We don't really call it, it's not like the podcast when you look right. It up, but it is the podcast.
Indeed.
Of Grumpire.
Yes.
So, well, Grumpire is the magazine.
Correct.
Film magazine, and this is the
podcast component, the podcast companion. We are a prairie podcast companion.
No, we're not.
No,
we're just a Grumpire podcast companion.
Okay,
well, what the heck is that?
Well, to reiterate our premise,
what is the premise?
Well, what we do here is we invite a guest on, and that guest tells us a movie that he or she does not like.
But this movie has to be something that is rather generally beloved.
Right.
So, example, Forrest Gump. I don't think we're ever going to cover it, but the guest brings Forrest Gump, and we talk about how bad that is, but then we also talk the alternate, right?
Yes.
Which they also bring, which is something along the similar theme in some kind of way. It can even be loose.
Mm-hmm.
That they appreciate more.
Right, it's much more satisfying to them in whatever way. And you know, I think you can learn a lot more about people by what they don't like than what they do like.
Well, there's a theory there, but that's what the show is exploring anyway.
Right, this idea that I have of people are more honest when they're talking about stuff that they don't like.
Interesting. But to talk about stuff that people do like, hopefully, please, Grumpire has a bunch of artwork, which is illustrated and designed by me. I take some of those pieces of artwork and I upload them to the TeePublic store.
Yes.
And make t-shirt designs out of them. If you just so happen to have a deep appreciation for Million Dollar Mystery or The Strangler or Two Moon Junction, you can get a shirt of my design of it. Or Draculine, the original character, Draculine for Grumpire. A movie that doesn't exist, and there may be more coming soon. Go to TeePublic and look up Grumpire, and you'll find our stuff that'll help us keep the lights on around here. And there are always sales. So, advertisement out of the way, who do we have on this episode?
Our guest today is Brian Miller. He is founder of the Death Bomb Arc record label, also founder of some bands.
What bands?
Well, there's Foot Village, there's the True Neutral Crew, and also Back to the Future, The Ride.
Okay, that's based on the Universal Studios tour, Back to the Future, The Ride.
You think so?
Pretty sure that's what inspired the name.
Hmm.
So, on with the show!
Yeah.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Doing all right. So, like, jumping straight into it.
Yes.
What's your beef with gravity?
We have to go. We have to go, go, go. Explorer's been hit.
What do I do?
Astronaut is off structure.
Grab a hold of anything you can.
I'm really scared.
You're going to make it, Brian.
I can't breathe.
Do you copy? Anybody?
Gravity, rated PG-13. Experience it in IMAX 3D.
Dude, well, they say that every single successful movie is emotional manipulation, so I really shouldn't come at it from that point of view, but I feel like when I watch Gravity, I'm witnessing someone emotionally manipulate yet another person, and I'm just a witness, and I'm not even in the crossfire of it, and it feels really creepy to me.
Huh. Okay, so LB, then,
yeah.
Right now, for the audience who hasn't ever seen the Oscar award-winning whatever movie, Gravity, break it down. Tell us the story, quick. You can do it, because it's a skinny story.
Well, yeah, all it is a lady who's stuck in space.
No, it's not. It's not just a lady. What kind of
lady?
Well,
okay, well, she's a doctor. She's invented something for NASA, and they send her up to be an astronaut and work on the space station. And then there's a Russian missile strike, apparently, and a bunch of debris comes through the space, and it hits her, or, you know, hits her little area with all her astronaut friends, and everything blows up, and then she's hurled for oblivion, and she's running out of oxygen. And we see her just, you know, go through her life and her regrets. And yes, it's very emotionally manipulative, and I hate it as well.
So also co-stars George Clooney, and I think the voice of Ed Harris for a little bit, and a voice of another, I think, East Asian guy. I don't know who that actor was, but that actor's face goes bye-bye. And it's the missiles from Russia are being shot at their own derelict or spy satellite that broke. They didn't want to have hijacked or something. I don't know. So they blew it up, and that's where the debris comes from. But it is structured as a classical mishap slash adventure. Mishap. It's a mishap. And the person has to...
What is another famous mishap movie?
Okay, mishap movie, like Perfect Storm or something like that, where they have to go through the storm. Have you seen White Squall?
Like some natural disaster movies? Or is that different than a mishap movie?
It could, yeah, I mean, it could be. It would still be a mishap anyway, one way or the other. a natural disaster. What's funny about this, Albie?
It's, well, like, are you talking about like when it's... scientists are like, oh, we shouldn't have done this, or what were we thinking?
No, it's like a situation that happens that mishappens. It's a oops, we're screwed.
Okay.
White Squall's oops, we're screwed is the boat topples and they capsize, and there's a bunch of teenagers stuck inside the boat, and they have to get them out, and some of them don't make it. I ruined the movie for you, but it's a good movie. It's emotionally manipulative, but... Okay. It's a bunch of teen boys in a boat as opposed to one lady in space. There's also, like, I didn't see it. It's with Robert Redford. He's alone on a boat.
I don't know.
And he's in a big storm. It's rather recently. All is lost.
What?
I think it's called All
Including
is Lost.
Any memory of that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It came out like 5 years ago or something.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't watch
Maybe
that
it's
movie,
All
dude.
Is Not Lost, anyway.
Okay, well, the lady part. Let's talk about that, okay? Well, not lady parts, but the lady.
The lady is played by Sandra Bullock. That's another thing that we didn't mention. And the movie is directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
Right, who is a hit or miss sort of director in my eyes. I don't know about you guys. But...
So, Brian, have you seen any of Alfonso Cuarón's movies?
No. I'm not sure someone's supposed to bring your knowledge of other movies to justifying how yet another one of the movies is good or bad. So I'm okay with that. But certainly people that like the movie a lot and have told me so all saw it in theaters in 3D, which I did not.
Oh,
which makes me think it's kind of an event movie and really more of an installation piece than you know, something that can even exist otherwise. I have tried twice with it, which is rare for me if I think something's that, you know, unsettling. And again, I don't have a problem with emotionally manipulative movies. I want to be taken on that ride. I just can't get inside of it, and then it's so heavy-handed that it really creeps me out. You know, like you said, it's kind of thin on plot, so there's not a lot going on, mostly floating around in space, and Sandra Bullock, you know, trying to control her breathing so she doesn't run out of air.
Yes.
With all these weird moments where, despite how huge space is, she suddenly runs into George Clooney again, who has a disturbingly happy demeanor, despite the fact that they are about to die in one of the most unpleasant ways possible, just lonely and completely away from humanity or anything. And, you know, if a movie's good, it almost can have even any moral at the end, and I'll just go, well, personally, I don't agree with this moral, but it's a good movie, and that's fine.
Sure.
This one, since I don't like it so much, the fact that it kind of has a don't go chasing waterfalls moral, which he finally gets back on land, and it's like, this shouldn't have gone into space. Shouldn't have been away from humanity, shouldn't have been so alone, shouldn't try to go do wild, insane things with your life, and especially if you can't be like George Clooney, who, you know, the moments before he dies is like, you know what, you're such a hottie.
And right? He has such a weird, like, 1950s way of flirting with her throughout the whole movie. It's so strange.
Right.
He's really obnoxiously, is the word glib about it. And throughout his whole character, and I don't know if they're just like, George, just be as chipper as possible. Because he does that, the Russian satellite hits the fan, so to speak, and then he turns from that chipper to giving orders, but also in a very chipper manner. Matter of fact, though, so it sounds condescending, every word that he says after that.
Yeah.
But I actually understand that. My dad was in the military, and when you're an administrator and you're over people who need to listen to your... But my dad wasn't like the great Santini or anything. He didn't, you know, mistreat me necessarily, but sometimes if he needed you to do something and not ask him about it, like, why? He would just say it like that. Like, do this thing now, you know, administratively, matter of fact. And that's how George Clooney kind of sounded. So it reminded me of that, which is annoying.
Maybe fits with the manner that they promoted the film, where they're like, it's one of these hard science movies where everything is the way it would really be if this really happened, which I don't have any interest in. I definitely lean towards the more Hitchcock idea that it's just a bunch of illusions and you just make people believe that it could be happening, you know? So I don't care. I don't need the science of my science fiction to be that.
Yeah, you don't need Neil deGrasse Tyson to come along and go like, well, actually.
Right. And then the people, I remember people did that in the film. People tried to punch holes in the science. It's like,
Neil deGrasse Tyson, that scientist.
Right. Oh, he did.
Yeah. And it's like,
he picked that hill to die on, that gravity is bullshit. But in the end, what a movie is about, I think, is not the hard science, right? Because they're not proving to you in the audience that this could really happen or not. It doesn't matter if this is hard science. How do I know in any movie if it is or not, especially if it's something didn't take a grad school in. What really matters is that you're along for Sandra Bullock's ride, and, you know, depending on how you interpret a movie, you're either identifying with her or at least bearing witness to her, and either way that you know, look at it, I just end up having the experience that they're showing kind of, you know, moms are metaphorically very alone, everything's chaos, and then some guy comes around every once in a while, and it doesn't make sense why he's so happy about it, and tells you what to do, and then bails, and then you still have to deal with it and miraculously survive, and then every once in a while you say to yourself, wow, I really appreciate the little that I have because life is so crappy.
Wow. Well, I did note that the end of it, I have this fantasy that the end is actually her landing on Skull Island. So there's like King Kong and giant spiders all over the place.
King Kong is not hard science.
No, but my fantasy is that that's actually what happened. But what I'm gathering you're saying is that her journey is a cautionary tale. Don't follow your dreams?
It seems, that's how I read it. I can't bear to watch it more times to, you know, put holes in my own theory, though. So.
Okay, yeah, so basically it's just be content being a wine mom. Okay.
Kind of, and that's the example that George Clooney kind of puts forth. This be happy, don't worry type thing. And it's that thing. It's just that scene to like, oh, look how crazy she is, that she can't keep her cool in this situation that obviously, if you were trained properly, you could deal with.
Right. But
never mind the fact that she has no oxygen and she can't think straight. Well, you know, Andrew knows this, but I have this book of poetry that I found.
Right,
and,
you do.
Yeah, and it's like all these poems that I wrote when I was in high school. And you know how high school poetry is. It's just the dumbest things, right? So I was flipping through it, and I came to this page, and all it has is a bunch of times, like, I have written Houston and the Blind over and over, like, different sizes, different scribbles and everything. It's just Houston and the Blind everywhere. Oh, it's really weird. But,
like an insane person's piece of paper?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'm certain it should be about gravity. But then if I look down to the bottom of the page, though, I have some notes written here. It says, Houston and the Blind, why can't this guy just shut up? Clooney is a bitch.
What?
Yeah, so I don't know. I was just reading it. I just realized it's a haiku.
Yeah, that's a haiku.
Yeah. I don't know. Crazy
it's
how
also,
I wrote
it's
that.
Also, yes, because it's prescient. It's like you predicted a movie, and Clooney wasn't even really that popular.
I mean, this
oh, you weren't
in high school?
You're not trying to establish that you were in high school when this movie came out?
Right.
No, it was in the late 90s that she was in high school.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not looking for hard science.
Maybe I didn't do such a great job establishing that it's absurd that this poem came from high school.
So Clooney is a bitch.
That must have, maybe it came from watching ER. I don't know. But
maybe.
Anyway, yeah.
So your alternate to this, this one is emotionally manipulative film, not in the most terrible way, like Pay It Forward. That movie I hate, and it is the quintessential manipulative emotional film. I can't stand it. But this one, I can totally see that they're trying to maneuver your emotions to feel this certain way about her flight. And so what's your alternate?
I mean, all movies are trying to, I think. Well,
no, yeah,
many,
of course. They want you to relate to it. But, like, you can relate to anything, really.
She's just so helpless from the get-go all the way through. I'm not sure who is supposed to be relating to her or not, and if it's insulting the idea that you're supposed to, it just kind of misses the mark every single turn for
gotcha.
My own emotional involvement.
Sure. Gotcha. So now, your alternate to this, though, what film is
the
that?
Descent.
Give me a smile. This is it. It's beautiful! I can't breathe. Okay, move. Now! What was that? I saw someone.
Starring Rosario Dawson? No. Right? That's not the right
Descent. What is that?
Two movies at the same time came out. They were called The Descent. But Rosario Dawson's an NC-17 one where she gets a revenge on a rapist and cuts his wiener off or something. I'm pretty sure that's not the movie that you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the spelunking movie. So instead of going out in the state, going into another lonely, hopeless space, but deep in the earth.
Ugh, God, it's my nightmare. Totally my nightmare. I can't even imagine, like, going inside the earth.
Which already we might be on to a reason why I like Descent and not Gravity, which is I find the idea of dying lonely in space romantic enough that as horrible as it would be, there's something kind of amazing about it, and if that's what happened to me, I would still say to myself, well, this is kind of an amazing thing to happen in my life. If I fall down to the bottom of a well and die there because no one knows I'm down there, I'm not going to think there's a real poetry to what I'm witnessing about the universe right now. You know?
Okay, fair enough.
So it's actually scary to me, and I don't know if Gravity is supposed to be scary to anyone, but I am not scared when I watch Gravity.
No, I don't think it's supposed to be scary. I think it's more supposed to be, like, you get an awestruck sort of feeling about it, or maybe just tense, you know?
Yeah, but maybe those people who saw 3D felt a little bit more.
Definitely a roller coaster. Yeah. That's a theme park ride. An emotional theme park ride is what that was.
Right.
So you get woozy and all that. And you don't get claustrophobic because there's all this wide open space in The Descent, which follows the story of a group of women who go spelunking and they go to an uncharted cave system as opposed to the one that they're supposed to be going to or people think that they're going to, and they get kind of caved in and then attacked by cave dwellers, troglodyte people.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Or just Appalachian people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. There's no banjos, LB.
I'm from there, I can say that.
And then they have to kind of fight their way out. But at the same time as fighting their way out, they have to, this is another mishap movie, honestly, they have to traverse the cave system, find a way out, because it's all dark inside, and use their wits as spelunkers. There's a bunch of gross stuff here that isn't in the other movie. Like the waste pool, where it's just blood, gut, urine, feces, whatever. It's disgusting. It's the part of the movie that really, really gives me the heebie-jeebies, honestly.
Right, and that's not a reason why I'm saying that I prefer it or that I think as a movie that tackles similar themes, it's better. I don't need a movie to be gory to be better. I don't really care about that. That's not of interest to me.
The emotional journey, the hook between the characters, because there are actually more characters to play off of each other.
There are more characters, right. And that's the thing. In Gravity, we have Sandra Bullock representing all of womanhood on her own, but she's mom style, and that's it. So, you know, she's a very specific type of woman representing all women, which feels a bit weird to me. And the only person that she is in comparison to is 50s dad. And then you have Descent, where you have womanhood represented by this spectrum of characters. And I think that's a lot more interesting and gives it a lot more to say on that topic, because not only can a lot of different aspects of being a woman be represented and shown how they are complementary to each other and in conflict with each other. But right. also it seems to really put forward this idea that being the perfect woman is this impossibility that the world creates, and that that's the mm-hmm. real challenge there. At the beginning of the movie, the lead character that has suffered this horrible tragedy, and now she's on this vacation with her friends to kind of try to start rebuilding her own inner self, she's presented as far too kind of cautious. And then the other characters are the party ones, and they're more fun, and maybe they're more equipped for doing this vacation right. And by the end, you know, who is best equipped for what's going on really role reverses, and there's a bunch of other conflicts that occur. And it ends up, to me at least, saying a lot more about, you know, space that's lonely womanhood and chaotic as well, which also Gravity is, with all the debris flying around, that there's a lot of approaches, a lot of solutions, and a lot of impossibilities that aren't a person's character flaw that they can't deal with, but just how the world is unfair. So much of Gravity being Sandra Bullock not being able to deal, and then George Clooney coming around and essentially saying, why don't you just relax? Seems like it's suggesting that there's a way to deal with the chaos of the universe that she doesn't know how to, so that when at the end she is safe on the beach, it sort of is saying that that's her place as a woman and not the grandness of the universe. Where in Descent, maybe the grandness or the mystery of the universe is a place that isn't for anyone, but that doesn't matter because we're forced to be there anyway. Mm. They both kind of have a don't go chasing waterfall feel, though.
Well, they do and they don't, because it's one character that actually screws all the other characters by making them go to the one location that doesn't have any, you know, marker. Nobody knows where it is. She heard right. about this place or discovered it previously and wanted to explore it and put their name on it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, they'll get mad at that one character, so they are forced into that situation.
I don't know if The Descent is so much of a cautionary tale or a, like, don't go chasing waterfalls type of thing so much as, like, yeah, be adventurous and do these things that, you know, push yourself to do these things that maybe you wouldn't normally do, but, like, be responsible as you're doing it, too. Like, so right. I guess it is cautionary, but it's, like, also, like, not telling you don't do it. It's just saying, hey, there's a really great way to, I guess, I don't know, like, have a happy medium within yourself.
I agree with that. I think that is really what it points towards, although it also depends on which ending of the film you consider canon.
Yeah.
If it's the version where she actually escapes, that says a lot that's positive about the possibilities of kind of human ingenuity and will. And if you side with the version that kind of says that she never escapes and is just crazy or loses her mind, then that's a bit more grim on its ultimate outlook. Originally, I liked the version where she doesn't escape. I thought, mm-hmm. Well, that's more hard science.
That's the intended version initially, and then
I kind of against it now, though.
They cut it off. Yeah, this last time that we watched it, honestly, I kind of feel like the extended version undercuts the trajectory. Now, the point at the end, let's just say the happy ending, that I don't like is not her getting away. Fine, that's fine. Is the ghost popping up, which is
silly. That's stupid.
That's how it ended off. That's how we ended up in the theater. It ended right there, and you're like, oh, ghost. So you get the thing on Blu-ray, and it's the extended version, and you're like, oh, there's more. Oh.
It's a relief to that, but I just would have cut it at her throwing up and then run credits.
Yeah.
Because that's how you know, yes, you can survive maybe anything, possibly, but you are going to be traumatized in a certain
right.
way forever.
Right.
And that's why she, this idea that she actually didn't escape, it's like, you know what? No matter what, she didn't completely escape. You carry this with you forever.
Now, have you seen the sequel? Because there is the sequel.
Yes, but it's been a long time. The only thing I remember about it is that there is a claustrophobia scene in it that is even scarier than the one in the first movie, but I forget the premise of it. Is it built on the
she gets out?
Ending?
Yeah, it builds on that she got out and she brings a bunch of people
great.
To come back.
Great.
But it is a much cheaper film, so everything, it's cheaper made. It doesn't look as cinematic. It looks more like television. But anyway, mm-hmm. yeah. So if you're gonna follow to the second one, she does make it out.
great. You're I'm happy.
and the ghost is guilt, that's all. Something like that.
Right, of course.
Aren't we all haunted by guilt?
I mean, we have enough movies with ghosts actually just being guilt, though. That's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm equating this and trying to boil it down. Sandy Bullock representing all of womanhood doesn't quite fly because you're looking at it as metaphorically, like you're breaking down the themes. This is what you're seeing. Am I correct?
Well, if you read it that way, that she represents all of womanhood, which I think there's a legitimate argument for because everything, it's almost like a Disney movie. Everything is symbolic. There's so little going on that it has to be that way. Everything just mm-hmm. represents a thing. And when you make a movie like that, I feel like you need to be very attentive to them, what those things mean. You know, case in point, I reference Disney because they have the cartoon Hercules where the only character in it that has a Jewish accent is played by Hades, who they spin as a Christian Satan figure. It's like, could you be any more anti-Semitic? Thanks.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, you know, it's Sandra Bullock and she is a helpless, panicking mom that needs 50s dad to tell her what to do. So it feels like they're saying this is all women, but let's say it's not. Let's say it's a very specific movie about a woman just like her. Then now the movie isn't really messagey, which is strange for something being so emotionally manipulative that everyone wants to go along with it. So what is it about? Is it about everyone learning to understand middle-class moms? And if so, again, the message just seems to throw them all under the bus.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what the right way to look at it is.
Then the dissent would be more, if you're still looking at it as the representative of women. I'm not sure if it is more representative of women. I know there are hardly any men in the movie, but I can relate to the characters myself and not be a woman. So
yeah, but that's okay. You should.
I'm absolutely pro not having to be represented in film.
You don't need to be represented. No one needs to be represented in order to relate. I mean, it's a positive thing.
Exactly my point. So the different character type are, as I think you said, aspects of everybody's different, right? So various different types of women or just people, right? But we're going with the women metaphor, so it's more about the complexity of women as opposed to Sandra Bullock not being very complex. She's just conflicted in a couple of moments. Can she do it? Can she not?
Right.
All these other relationships are more indicative of a more complex kind of people.
Or Gravity is about nothing, and it's insulting to the movie to project any of this on it, and really all it is a roller coaster, which requires the 3D, and therefore is not even primarily a movie. It's a installation ride, you know?
Yeah.
I actually kind of think of it in that way, and in that sense, I don't have too much problem with it. I don't want to own the thing. I don't want to go on the ride very often, if ever again, but
if you have a 3D TV, maybe you can. I don't know.
Yeah, but I just still don't need to experience it ever again. But what I did experience, it didn't really upset me or anything like Pay It Forward did. That upset me as far as manipulation goes. But I understand the roller coaster ride aspect of it. And if we're going to just simply look at the movie as that, the adventure of it, the roller coaster, it's a long roller coaster. And if that's the case, because roller coasters last like 5 minutes and that's it.
Right.
They need to throw you around in a non-physical way with the emotional stuff and then get you back a little bit physically towards the end, especially with the 3D glasses.
Well, so. I just think if the point of Gravity is primarily roller coaster, that it would have been smarter on the writing to go the direction of, say, a Top Gun, where you don't begin it by throwing Russians under the bus on certain things. It just starts adding all these elements. It's like, am I supposed to think about this? Is it that's Russians? And they've just been baddies or irresponsible people?
Literally, when I heard that bit about the missile launch from the Russians, I was like, what? What happened? What's happening on Earth now? Is there like...
And it was pre Trump era, too, so we weren't even thinking of Russians as bad at that moment. It was very strange choice. I was like, who has the vendetta against Russians at the moment that they're so insanely irresponsible? Because it is built on the premise of something so horribly cheap and lazy of a government to do.
And the throwaway line, it's probably a spy satellite gone malfunctioned or something. Like, okay. And that's just pure speculation from Clooney.
Oh, maybe the movie's prophecy and, it's about Russian disruption of America, and Sandra Bullock represents all of us helpless in America, only every once in a while getting condescending advice from Trump Make America Great Again 50s Dad.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Now I like the movie.
That's pretty funny.
Yay. Yeah. Well, something constructive happened. Yay. Okay.
There you go. I always have this kind of slogan I tell myself, which is, there isn't bad art, just art you don't understand yet. So it does torment me when there's a movie like Gravity that just rubs me the wrong way constantly.
How long have you given thought to Gravity in that way? Like, I mean, like, how much time and how much sleep do you lose thinking about Gravity?
Well, because you invited me on this podcast, probably five times as much as I had previously.
Okay.
Which is what, like 5 minutes? 5 hours?
I think actually mostly just the length of time watching it twice. I'm not so concerned about art hurting me.
Okay, leave it be.
I've been making art myself for far too long to believe that art has that power. I've been disillusioned on that one for a while.
Sure.
Gotcha. Okay. Truthfully, I was really mad at you for making me watch this again, but...
I didn't watch it again. a third time felt like too much. I watched Descent again.
Yeah.
Good old. Well,
which I've apparently watched so many times my Blu-ray was skipping and having a bunch of problems, so...
Whoa.
Oh, no.
It's strange. I don't know. Bad. Or maybe it's just too... I don't know. I don't want to get into...
Maybe
we don't need to have the Blu-ray tech talk podcast. I'm sure someone else does that just fine. Blu-ray is made between the years...
Just put some toothpaste on it. It'll be okay.
Or peanut butter.
Okay.
Peanut butter. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Brian, for coming on the show with us.
Thank you.
It's been lovely.
I learned to love the movie Gravity.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We should do this again in a year, and we will revisit Gravity and see if our feelings have changed. But I will watch it this time.
Okay. Well, we will let you go now, but really, thank you. And
you're very well. Thank you so much.
Well,
thanks a bunch.
It's also my first podcast appearance ever.
Yay!
In my life.
Yay!
After a 21-year career in music, I'm finally on a podcast about movies.
It makes sense. You know, I was hoping that maybe it would be a good opportunity for you to talk about something that isn't music and enjoy it, so...
It's a lot easier for me to enjoy movies than music since it's not my job.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, so. I could... There's ways it is, but it's not. It's not.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Thank you again.
All right. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Bye bye.
You seemed pretty satisfied with that episode.
I think that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like it when I agree with our guest's point of view. Like, it gives me a sense of just personal satisfaction to be like, yeah, I hate that movie and I love that one, you know. So
But is it just self-serving or is it community?
Maybe both. Yeah, I mean, well, for one, misery loves company, right? So when you don't like something, you find out that somebody else doesn't like it, you're like, hell yeah.
And you rejoice in hating the same thing.
Yeah.
So it is both at the same time, community and selfish...
Validation.
You're a jerk.
Totally a jerk. So yeah, but that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Brian seems to have thought out what he was... griping about and what he appreciated. By the way, I don't know if he really even considered this or anybody considered this, but I find the synchronicity of the titles of the films that were chosen, Gravity and Descent, both of them have
weight to them.
I found that to be like, whoa, hey now, that's pretty clever, even if it wasn't intended.
Right.
So I like how things line up sometimes.
True.
So where can we find Brian Deathbomb Arc on the internet or Twitter or whatever socials you might have?
Well, you can for sure find him on Twitter. It's at DeathBombArc. You can go to the web store. They have a web store, of course. It's a record label, right? So that's DeathBombArc.com.
Is that ARK or ARC?
It's ARC.
Okay, DeathBomb ARC.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, there's always a bunch of cool promotions that they're doing. Like, it usually has a bunch of different cassettes on sale for $5 each. Like, there's like a rotating bunch of cassettes. Yes, they sell cassettes.
Yeah, I just saw on Twitter that they were, it might be over by now, but they'll probably do this from time to time, like personalized DM coupons.
Yes.
So if you follow them and express interest on the specific thread, whatever,
yeah,
they'll just DM you with the 25% off coupon.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, actually, in this economy, to be able to have that kind of personal touch from someone that you want to buy stuff from.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy most of the artists that are put out through
Dumbo. Who don't you enjoy? I'm joking.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah.
So yes, please go to deathbombarc.com. You can go to Bandcamp too. There's a big sampling, so please check that out. And speaking of checking things out, you mentioned our TeePublic store earlier. Don't forget to do that. TeePublic, search for Grumpire.
Right.
We are on Twitter at Grumpire Online. You can follow and see links to all the cool articles that we have coming out. Trying to put out more content every week, so be on the lookout there. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it, right?
Bye, everybody.
Ciao.